All right, everybody, here we go again for another Tech Doctor podcast, and this is always one of the biggest ones that we do every year, one of my favorites. Just after the 2017 WWDC keynote address, I'm very fortunate to have along with me the other Tech Doctor, Allison Hartley. Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. A blessed and joyous Apple Day to you.
You as well. Yes, it is. It's sort of a little like Christmas.
It is.
And we have, once again, the honor of having Mr. David Woodbridge back with us. David, yay! Welcome back.
Hello. I feel blessed as well, so that's good.
Excellent. Blessed, I suppose, is a good thing. So we're just going to go through the basics. There was an awful lot covered today in this keynote, and we're going to try to analyze it as best we can. At this point, it's still brand new in all of our heads, and David says he may have some good information for us along the way that's hot off the press, it sounds like, so we will talk about things. But the keynote began with a video, which I'm not going to even discuss because I don't know too much about what it was, but apparently it was interesting for those who were watching.
It was nuts if you weren't watching, if you were just listening, though.
Right. Yeah. Be nice if it had some audio description. We've gotten spoiled, haven't we?
Indeed. Yes. Exactly.
But Tim Cook came out and said this was going to be the biggest WWDC ever. And Apple has 16 million registered developers. 5,300 developers are attending WWDC this week. They've got lots of student developers. The youngest developer who is there is 10 years old, and he has 3 apps on the App Store. And the oldest developer happens to be from Japan, and she is 82 years old. Mm. So
that's incredible. At first, I felt really bad about my life because I thought, 10 years old and already 3 apps, what am I doing? But then I saw the 82-year-old, and I'm like, I got some time.
Yeah, you got some time. It is exciting, though, how many people develop for iOS and for the Mac. You know, I mean, it's really turned out to be a whole industry. Who would have ever thought 10 years in?
Yeah.
So then we're going to talk about what is new on all 4 of the platforms. Tim decided to skip the usual updates, just said that Apple is getting along just fine, and he said there was too much to talk about to do those updates, and I think most of us were probably okay with that.
Yeah, big sigh of relief over here.
Indeed, yep.
So, 6 major announcement areas. The first one that was talked about was tvOS, and I didn't really get too much new there except for Amazon is coming to Apple TV, and I guess for those who have Amazon Prime and like to watch Amazon stuff, it's a big deal. I don't know if it's a big deal, whether it's a big deal in Australia or not, David.
No, because we don't have Amazon yet. They're coming to Australia this year, so I guess that gives us another choice. The amount of channels and apps that we've got to watch TV in Australia is very minimal, so hopefully once Amazon hits Australia this year, it'll widen up quite a lot, but at the moment, it doesn't really impact on Australia yet.
Okay, well, good luck. Maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised later on in the year. And I know you like Amazon, Allison. You use it more than I do. Is it a big deal for you?
Well, I have Prime, so I have the Prime Video, and I don't find myself using it as much, except for shows that I have at least some passing familiarity with or that are pretty easy to follow with just dialogue because they don't have anything with audio description yet. So don't know how much I'll use this. I'm sure, you know, since it's there, I'll probably take a peek and see what's available. But at the very least for the original content, I'm hoping that they will eventually add description because they should take a cue from Netflix.
Yeah, they really should. And for those of us who are blind and visually impaired, that audio description is so very important that I find myself using mostly Netflix and iTunes myself.
Yeah, it's becoming more essential as shows become more visual.
Yes. Well, I don't think we're done hearing about tvOS. I think we're likely to hear more as the year goes on.
Mm.
So we shall see where all that goes. But that's kind of what they talked about today. Any more from either of you on TVOS?
No, it was pretty short and sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It's like, yeah, there's the TVOS. Next one.
Yeah. Oh, so we then moved on to Apple Watch, where we were told again that it is the number one selling smartwatch. And it's very high in customer satisfaction. They talked some about its importance in the area of fitness and health, which seems to me to be really where they've gone with the watch largely. Kevin Lynch came on stage to introduce Watch OS 4, and we've got some new watch faces, a smart Siri watch face, which is supposed to be good at figuring out what we want to see at a particular time of day on the watch and offering up that information. I'm really curious to see how that'll work. What do you all think about the Siri watch face?
Yeah, I want to play with it. It sounds very interesting. It sounds like something that I'm not sure, having not seen it, that it's something that I need right now, but I'm sure I'll find uses for it.
Actually, it's quite funny. I was trying to get it done before we recorded today, and I just had a look at my download, and it's still got 6 hours to go on Watch OS 4 beta.
Oh,
so I thought,
oh my God.
Damn, I got the iPad done and the iPhone done, but yeah, I didn't quite make it. What I'm really looking forward to and I want to see is whether the new watch faces for Toy Story, so Buzz, Woody, and Jessie, whether they have the same talking facility as do Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Oh, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Yeah, that will be cool to find out about that. So, yes, they did introduce a Toy Story watch face and also a Kaleidoscope watch face, and we're going to have to wait and see what those are like. And, David, you're going to hold the world record for staying up the longest ever in the world if you wait for that. It sounds like Watch OS to download. So.
Exactly. The other thing that was interesting to me was the fact that, and they weren't very clear on this, they might have been clear on the slides, where they said you can exchange data with gym equipment towards the end of the year, because quite a few of the manufacturers are bringing it out. What they weren't clear about, though, is that just exchange of data, or does it allow you to actually fully access the gym equipment so you control it from your Apple Watch, which therefore makes it fully accessible?
Oh, that'd be so great. I would buy something gym level for my home if it meant that.
Yeah, they did say it, at least I wrote it down, exchange data with gym equipment. We just don't know what that means yet. Apparently
exactly.
It's going to be done through NFC, and there are a whole lot of major companies who make gym equipment coming out with NFC equipment that will be compatible. So it seems kind of exciting. Maybe it has potential, but we don't quite know what it's going to mean.
Even if it doesn't allow you to control the equipment, if I could find something that was a good quality that had controls that I could use and label, just to be able to know that when I did a workout, it was syncing up the right amount of information and it wasn't getting it sort of half right. That would be helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. They've enhanced what you can do if you're a swimmer and added some new capabilities for doing multiple workouts. I don't know how that's going to work exactly with VoiceOver yet, and David can't tell us right now because he's still downloading it. So eventually we'll find out.
I'm not testing that one. I'm a drowner. So
we don't want that happening. Do y'all know much? I wrote down there's a newly designed music app. It will automatically sync music based on your Apple Music favorites. We'll have to see how that works.
So what I gathered from that one is you could set different playlists to start with your workout, but I don't know. I must have tuned out during that little section because I don't remember anything about favorites.
Okay, well, I'm not sure they call them favorites, but apparently no. the watch is going to get smarter in terms of knowing what you like to listen to on Apple Music and automatically provide you with some of that.
Yeah, David, you do a lot of music on the watch, don't you? I don't do as much.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sometimes in the keynote, I found it really hard to concentrate because they just sort of kept slamming features and going quite into depth in some things and skipping over others. So sometimes I just found myself sort of wandering off a little bit and coming back. So I'm sure they said it, but I can't remember it for the life of me now.
Okay. So they've redone the dock interface so that one can more easily get to your favorite apps. It just seems like they keep tweaking that, trying to make it really work more easily for everyone. I think that they're starting to find the real way to make the watch more appealing. So it's going to be interesting to try all that out when Watch OS 4 comes out in the fall.
I must admit, though, I was still a bit disappointed because it really does sound like it's going to keep pulling the data off the phone. And I really want to see an Apple Watch that's independent of the phone, too. At least for some functions. So, yeah, I just thought, oh, no, come on, guys. They said it's going to be faster, but it's like, gee whiz, can we just, get a little bit more independence?
Yeah. They would probably need to release new hardware for that, but they're probably close to that anyway.
Mm.
They did say more support for background activities, but that's not exactly what you're hoping for or what you're wanting. I think it is still, it's so small and battery life is an issue, and it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves in terms of its independence from the phone over the years.
Well, what's really interesting though is the and this probably is the background processing stuff, the fact that it'll actually work with glucose monitors.
Yes,
that's really wonderful.
There's more. And a different, I didn't quite understand exactly, but there's a different kind of Bluetooth support, which is going to allow, they said, connection to lots of different kinds of monitors, like glucose monitors. And apparently if you have a certain type of surfboard, you can even monitor the waves as you're surfing along.
Whoa, dude.
No, that was cool.
I think that would be really good for our California girl. She could go for that.
Yes, I can surf and then I can drown.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
But you know how big the wave is, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll withdraw my surfing hope for you because I don't want you to drown.
Mm-hmm. No.
That pretty well covers it for Watch OS. Anybody else got anything to add to that one?
Nothing that jumps out.
Okay.
No, that was it. Like I said, I'm still looking forward to hopefully my talking Toy Story watch faces.
Yeah.
If you get that, you'll just be happy, won't you?
I will. I don't care about anything else. I just want my talking face watches.
You want to hear? You want to hear Buzz coming through?
I do. I was just trying to think what Jesse was going to say, though. But I can imagine Woody and Buzz. But, yeah, but we'll see.
Well, I hope you get your wish, because there's nothing I like more than a happy Woodbridge.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're gonna move on to the Mac. And Craig Federighi came up to talk about the new Sierra, which is going to be called High Sierra. Like that, huh?
Oh, look, it was a brilliant name for it. Oh, dear. Good grief.
Well, it reminds me, honestly, of the years like Leopard, Snow Leopard. I think it's got a big thing in it with this new Apple file system. And so they have really been working a lot under the hood, but I don't think it's going to be a huge release in terms of tons and tons of new features, because I think they're really, really wanting to concentrate on stabilizing. And can you imagine rolling out an entirely new file system to all the Macs on the planet? I mean, wow.
That's got to be intensive, yeah.
It's quite a technical accomplishment.
Mm.
Of course, they rolled it out. They rolled out the new file system, the new Apple file system on iOS, and except for the fact that a lot of us noticed our devices had more free space, I didn't hear anyone saying that it broke their phone or their iPad.
No,
not at all. My phone has been definitely, even if possible, smoother and faster and less crashy than it ever was. Not that it was ever that bad to begin with, but I think it's definitely been a good change.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but it is also true, I think, that it's more complicated to roll out the file system on the Mac. They can control it on iOS a whole lot better, but still I anticipate it going well. And I don't think they would release it if they weren't pretty confident that it was going to, you know, that we're going to be able to upgrade and it was going to work for us. So they did mention that Safari, it keeps getting faster. They said it's the fastest browser, and it's getting a feature called autoplay blocking, which is going to automatically block the websites.
Thank
that,
God.
Thank goodness for that.
You all like that, don't you?
It's, yes.
It's gonna block the websites who automatically start playing a video when you log in, and so, and that's not the same thing as ad blocking. They pointed out it, but it's just gonna block that audio unless you want to turn it on. So I think it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and there are other ways. There's an app called Ghostery that will allow you to block ads on the Mac if you want to.
And they're going to be featuring something in Safari called Intelligent Tracking Prevention, which I don't know how it works, but supposedly it's going to make it not so possible for keeping track of what you're shopping for and then bugging you about ads about that stuff later on. Although it'll be interesting to see how well all that works. Again, you know, they're emphasizing their commitment to privacy.
Yeah, which is always good, I think.
And mail has been refined. They've enhanced the ability to search mail with Spotlight, and I don't understand this one. They talked about that the new mail app is going to support split view in when composing a message. I don't know what that means. Do either of you all know anything about that?
I think it's a visual thing. Probably allowing you to see your inbox perhaps and the message that you're composing at the same time. It won't go full screen, in other words.
Maybe. I thought you could already do that, but
I thought so too, but I don't know.
Okay. So there's lots of enhancements to photos. You're going to be able to do more keyword searches and things like that, more facial recognition stuff, more editing. And I think it's going to be kind of cool that if you do use other tools to edit your photos, that information will automatically get transferred back to the Photos app. So sounds like they're just continuing to iterate in the Photos area. And then they talked more about the new file system, which we've already mentioned. And they did do a little demo where they showed how fast it was to duplicate a file in the new file system. In the current Sierra, it took a few seconds for the duplication to happen, but in the new file system, the duplication was immediately.
It was instantaneous. Yeah, it was really fast.
I've heard that that's because they don't actually make any changes to the file until you make changes. So anyway, I think it's a really clever advanced file system. The old one was getting mighty old, and time for that revision. I think it's going to be much faster and more stable, and I bet we're going to see a whole new approach to Time Machine, for example.
That'll be nice. Maybe I'll actually use it.
Yeah, maybe you will. Maybe you'll start doing that fantastic Time Machine backup. They have a new version of Metal for doing graphics. They're calling it Metal 2, which seems like a very creative name. And it looks like this is going to be really important for people who do video work and maybe augmented reality, AR, because Apple has been criticized in the past for not being powerful enough to support some of these game development engines like Steam. I don't know even exactly what I'm talking about, except I've heard Apple put down for not being where they need to be, and it sounds like they have really upped their game with High Sierra.
Nice.
Yeah, although one thing that I was a bit disappointed about, it's sort of Mac related in a way, I noticed I didn't mention anything about iTunes for Windows, because I thought at least with maybe Windows 10S that Apple would at least say, oh yes, we're going to release a iTunes app for Windows 10S so that Windows users can still enjoy iTunes, but that was never mentioned.
It wasn't. So I don't know what that means, but I guess we shall see. I sort of was wondering if we might see some significant changes to iTunes, like breaking it apart and taking some things out of it, but nothing at all was mentioned about iTunes that I heard.
I was hoping for that because I hate iTunes oh so much. I use it very sparingly on the Mac. I use it basically for once a year doing an encrypted backup of my phone when I get a new one, and that's pretty much it.
Okay then. Yeah, it is a controversial application. No doubt about that. Then someone named John Turnus came up and talked about new Macs. There are new iMacs where the displays will be 43% brighter. They can display a billion colors. They're moving to Kaby Lake processors. Can use 32 and 64 gigs of RAM on up to 32 gigs on the 21 inch and up to 64 gigs on the 27 inch iMac. And they're going to add two USB-C ports, which of course can also support Thunderbolt and external GPUs, which is a big deal for people who need that kind of horsepower, really bumping up the graphics hardware a lot. And so it's going to be quite a year for the iMacs. I don't know whether there's much else we really have to say about that. Anything else you guys want to say about the iMac?
I think just to let people know that, so you've got an updated to the 21.5, the 27, and of course the monster iMac Pro with up to 18 cores.
Yes. Yes, I hadn't even mentioned that one yet, but there is a new iMac Pro, and I can't imagine how anyone would want a more powerful computer. I know that they will be also coming out with a Mac Pro later, they have announced, which will give you the modular capabilities for adding additional hard drives and things like that. But if you want an all-in-one system, wow, this iMac Pro should, I would think, meet anybody's needs, wouldn't you think?
Sounds pretty amazing. I can't imagine anyone needing anything even near the top end of that in our community, but no. You never know. But it's a pretty amazing machine.
But what I was looking forward to, I mean, what I was pleased to hear about was the fact that, you know, the MacBooks, the MacBook Pros and the Mac Airs are all getting updates. The only thing that I felt a bit sad about still was the poor old Mac Mini still hasn't been updated since 2014.
Yeah.
I think the Mac Mini has possibly gone the way of the iPod Touch, and it's just in...
It just sits there.
never updated land, yeah.
No. But one very exciting bit of news, because I jumped onto a bit of a chit-chat with my contact at Apple just after the keynote, and sort of buried in the Twitter feed or somewhere online somewhere, they've announced it's a Lightning Bluetooth-enabled full-size keyboard with numeric keypad. So... Ooh. They've got rid of the full-sized USB one that used to have the USB plug-in one on it, and now it's the magic full-size keyboard with a numeric keypad and, of course, a Lightning port to charge it up or connect it via the Lightning port. So that's pretty exciting as well, actually.
Yeah, very
that
nice.
That is pretty amazing. Oh,
that will meet the needs for a lot of people. We still have one of those old wired keyboards with the numeric keypad. And yep. Be nice to have a Bluetooth one.
Right? Indeed. Yep.
And it looks like they dropped the starting price for the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Starts at $1,299 now. And I'm not sure what that would, no telling what that will cost in Australia, but that's what it is in the US, I assume.
Yeah, they normally add a bit on when they bring it over to Australia. So even though they sound, you know, really good prices in US dollars, by the time it hits Australia, it's not particularly nice.
I was really surprised that they did a little, I don't know exactly what, maybe you know, David, they did some incremental update to the MacBook Air, and I sort of was expecting that one might drop off.
Yeah,
they did the update. So they've updated it from a 1.6 processor to 1.8. So, you know, I don't know really if 200 extra gigahertz or 0.2 gigahertz makes actually much difference, but at least it got a bump. I mean, I still find my 1.6 with 8 gigs is more than powerful enough to do all I need to do anyway.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's would be easy, I guess, for me to be a little sad that I jumped on the MacBook Pro last year right when it came out, now that we have the Kaby Lake update, but I just don't have anything right now that my machine isn't doing satisfactorily. It's just as smooth and fast and everything that I wanted it to be. So I don't know. I know you were a little concerned about that, Allison, because you have a new MacBook as well.
I do. I just got it 3 months ago. And of course, this one comes out. From the little bit of digging I managed to do in the Apple Store app, though, it does not look like, at least on the 13-inch model, it doesn't look like you can add 32 gigabytes of RAM. And that's a shame, because the Kaby Lake processor, the whole point of that bump is that it can easily accommodate 32 gigabytes of RAM. Now, it could be on the 15-inch model that you could get the quad core and the 32 gigs of RAM. And if that's the case, I'm going to be kind of upset, because I really don't want a 15-inch laptop. I would like the 13-inch model. So if that's the case, if that's really the case, I'm going to look again, but I'm probably just going to end up sticking with what I have.
Are you disappointed in the machine that you have?
Oh, not in the least. It's really fine. I just, you know, initially when it came out, was a little bit disappointed that it only went up to 16 gigabytes of RAM, even though I found that to be more than sufficient for what I do.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, you know. So that's the way it always is, though. There's always, within a few months, a newer, shinier one coming along, and that's just the reality of how this technology works. Yeah.
And I already buy the new phone every year, so I don't need, and the new watch every time a new watch is released, so I don't need to start doing that with iPads and MacBooks.
Yeah, that could get a little expensive. How about you, David? Are you very excited about the updates to the Mac line?
I'm pretty excited about the updates to the iMacs, because our iMac is now about 5.5 years old, so I wouldn't mind an update to our machine at home. And the fact that you've got the standard USB ports plus USB-C now in the new iMacs sounds
nice.
Really, really interesting. So I think I'll, as I often mention on my podcast, I'll be having a bit of a chit-chat and mention every now and again how fantastic a new iMac would be in the house now.
Oh, you mean you have to get permission to get one?
Absolutely, mate. No question about that one.
Okay. I understand that very, very well. I guess that's pretty much it for the Macs. And honestly, I think Apple really did what the customers were asking for. I mean, can you imagine a much broader line of Macs than what they announced today? I think they've covered it, honestly.
I think so. I think they more than delivered.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, some people were wondering, well, will they deliver? And I think when it comes to the Mac, at least my opinion is they really did. So, we'll see how it goes. And except for the iMac Pro, all of them, I believe, are available now.
I believe so. Yep.
I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, actually, no, the the big one, the iMac Pro, that's not available to the end of the year.
Till the end of the year, yeah. Right, but the rest of them are now, though.
Right, that's the only one. And then we moved on to iOS, which sounds like it's going to be called iOS 11. talked about 86% of the Apple customer base is running iOS 10, so they don't have the fragmentation problem that they have on Android. They are making some more changes to the messaging app. There's going to be some sort of an app drawer now where you can more easily find messaging-related apps. I haven't done much with messaging apps.
Me neither, not at all.
Or stickers or any of that stuff, so I can't speak to much of that.
I sent balloons on somebody's birthday.
I mainly use messages on my Mac most of the time because that's where I spend most of my work day, on the Mac. So every time I message people now, it's actually on the Mac, not so much on the iPhone. The iPhone only gets ever used if I'm you know, rounded about. But yeah, it'd be nice to have a look at that because, like Alison and you, Robert, I really haven't bothered sending stickers or anything else, really.
Yeah, I did send my wife exploding fireworks one time. That was pretty cool.
Oh.
One thing that I'm really glad to see, I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but the iCloud is going to start syncing iMessages across all your devices. So when you delete a message on one device, it's going to be gone on the others. And right now, that's not the case. You have to delete messages on your Mac and then delete the same messages from your phone. Yep. I don't know what that means in terms of storing messages in the cloud. They are encrypted, but that is a change from the way it has worked so far.
Mm. They also said that they'll only have the most recent ones on the device. So to save storage on your local device, it'll be on the cloud. And I'm looking forward to it because I often switch between two Macs, two iPads, and one iPhone. So for me, being able to manage all the messages across all the platforms will be really, really exciting. So since I've downloaded iOS 11 today on both my phone and my iPad, that's what I'm going to start looking at to see how it really does work. And when I get, and I haven't got it yet, Mac High Sierra, I'll give that a go as well.
Oh, nice.
You are one courageous man. Do not do what David did. Do not download the betas on the first day.
Unless you have a secondary device like me, then you can beta to your heart's content.
That's right.
Yeah. The iOS 11 on my iPhone 6S is very, very, very sluggish. It's fine on my iPad Pro, but when you have to touch the screen and get it to talk to you about 2 or 3 seconds later, depending on what you're doing, it's not good.
That's not good.
It does remind you that it's a beta, doesn't it?
Yes.
It absolutely does. So and I'm not going to Twitter about it because that's the chance you take when you beta test. If you don't want to put up with that, then you don't beta test. Yep.
Exactly. And it's amazing how they stabilize and speed up and everything happens by the end of the summer. But right now, it's early days.
Indeed.
They next talked about Apple Pay, and they said that it's going to be available in 50% of retailers in the U.S. by the end of the year. That surprised me. I use it some, but it's not available in a lot of places around here. So there's also going to be a new person-to-person Apple Pay option, which you're going to be able to do from within iMessages. So fortunately, Allison will be able to easily send me money when she wants to pay me for...
Send you money? You still owe me $1,000.
Oh, dear. You would have to bring that up, wouldn't you? So it's going to be interesting to see how all that works. Apparently, it's going to be easy to send money. You have something called an Apple Pay Cash card, which is where your money is stored, and you can that people send you, and you can keep it there and spend it on the things that Apple Pay covers, or you can transfer it back to your bank, things like that. I guess it's similar to what PayPal offers.
Yeah, it's very secure though, because it's not nobody could have direct access to your bank, so it virtualizes just like it does with your regular cards that you add to Apple Pay. So just like the merchant doesn't get your actual card number when you use Apple Pay, the person with whom you're doing the transaction never sees any of your bank information. So that's pretty ingenious.
Yeah, it is. And do you all have Apple Pay in Australia? Do you use it?
I don't know, because in Australia, the banks are still fighting over Apple and Apple Pay. They don't like Apple Pay, the major banks.
Still, that fight's still going on.
Yeah, jeez. It's still going on. Even though that basically Apple won the case, they're being very sluggish in the uptake. So I think it's ANZ, American Express, and a few other major banks that are doing it across Australia. But it's so limited where it's available that I really haven't taken it on board yet. So that's one thing I'd really look forward to, because I hate having to give my PIN number to a complete stranger when I go shopping. It's, you know, the fact that it's actually breaking the law, because I'm breaking my contract with my bank by exposing my PIN number to somebody else.
Right.
Yep.
So Apple Pay would be very welcomed for you, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Hope it gets there soon. Siri is going to get new voices in the fall. They sounded fine to me. I didn't see a huge difference. I don't know if you all did.
The female sounded different. The male sounded exactly the same, which is fine. They're fine.
I just started laughing because I just thought, at the end of the day, I really don't give two hoots about what the voice sounds like. As long as I get information out of the iOS device. I mean, I could quite happily keep using Fred, for example, or my favorite Eloquence robotic voice. But, you know, it didn't – I mean, you're right, Alison. The female voice sounded a lot better than the male voice. But I just thought software synthesizers are software synthesizers. So it's like – it's almost like, oh, we've got another little point here just to fill in a bit. So I'll tell you about the new voices while we're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't terribly impressed.
Well, it is impressive that Siri is going to be apparently much better at dealing with follow-up questions and is going to be able to translate what you say into other languages.
One thing about that one, I hope it gets passed. I hate it when Siri doesn't understand you. So she'll say, a web search found the following information.
Oh, God, I hate that. Yeah.
You just didn't understand what I said. Why don't you be honest and say, can you please repeat that, rather than going, oh, yeah, you wanted to search for blah, blah, blah. Here's a web search. I'm like, no.
It's a cop-out,
Exactly. But when I was playing with iOS 11 Beta 1 this morning, there's an op Siri has actually been moved to, well, currently, the accessibility panel. And there's this little Siri item itself. Now, inside it, it says, type to Siri, toggle button. So rather than you having to use your voice to talk to Siri, you can type in a text field and give it instructions that way. So if you've got a speech impediment, you have to use switch control or something else and you can't use your voice, then Siri completely opens itself up to typing input now.
That's nice.
Excellent. And also it's nice for times when you don't want to talk to Siri.
Right. Do you have the option? Exactly. Do you have the option of doing one or the other when you summon him or her?
Yeah, very, very weirdly. Yes, you do. Because if you have the typing turned on, then when you hold down the home button or use the magic words, H-E-Y, Siri, she'll just go straight into a text mode for the keyboard on the screen. Whereas if you want the normal Siri interface, then you've got to have that turned off. But it's a toggle, so you can have it on or off.
It doesn't
look like you can have a combination of the two.
Ah, I would like a combination. Maybe that's coming in a future beta. But indeed. Yeah, I like the translation, because now I work in an area where, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania, we had really no Spanish speakers, so I took French. And now I live and work in an area that has a lot of Spanish speakers, monolingual Spanish speakers, and I am just out of my depth completely trying to communicate with them. So I think Siri will help me a lot in that regard. We have some office staff who are bilingual now, but oftentimes as a manager, I'm the first contact with people. So this will help.
I think it will. I think it'll be very cool. I'm looking forward to using it when I'm traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
They introduced SiriKit, which I don't really understand exactly what all it can do now. They said it can do task management. And I think they were talking about working with other apps like OmniFocus and things like that. I'm not sure what all else it can work with, but it can understand more things in context, apparently. And it's used, they talked a lot about in one way or another today, this on-device learning, that this intelligence that is going to be coming to Siri, that by Siri being able to pay attention to what you do on your device and learn from that. So we'll have to see how all that works. Do you all have any more information about any of this new Siri stuff? That's one of the things we were really hoping for.
Will I be able to tell it play Harry Potter and the Flippin' Sorcerer's Stone on Audible and have it just play? Because that's where I spend the most of my time, is shuffling back and forth between different audiobooks. And I would like to be able to have him or her opened up to different apps so that I can play audio in either Overcast or Audible.
Yeah, one feature that I thought they didn't talk about and I'd like it to come in is, if you've got multiple iOS devices and you use the magic word HEY Siri, I just wish it could use handoff to say, I've taken this input, all the rest of you keep quiet because I'm handling the request.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of my iPad, my iPhone, my iPod Touch all going off at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I'm sitting 3 meters away from my iPad and I'm talking to my iPhone. Surely by now it should be some sort of smart technology that goes, okay, you've got it here on your iPhone, we'll just ignore the rest.
It does seem they could do that. Hopefully they will before iOS 11 comes out. They made some enhancements to the camera software, as we all assumed they would, and they're able to identify more things in photos now in a smart way, things like pictures of weddings, sporting events, and so on. And I don't know whether you've played with this at all, David, but they've redesigned the control center, so now we're back to a single page again.
Yes. Shall I say, in beta one, that's a bit of a challenge.
Oh dear.
On the iPhone, I don't quite know where it's going. And on the iPad Pro, it seems to bring up the app switcher at the moment, which is your three-finger flick up from the status bar. So again, there just might be some sort of initial focus issue going on, because it's supposed to contain not only, you know, predictions for your apps, but your HomeKit screens, your AirPlay screens. You can use 3D Touch to bring up stuff on a 3D Touch-enabled device to get more controls. But, yes, at the moment, Control Center's a little bit wonky with VoiceOver. But then again, as we keep saying, you know, this is all initial beta software.
Yeah.
And normally within two or three betas, some of this stuff clears up anyway.
Well, I'm hopeful that the Control Center will, in the end, be better than it is for VoiceOver users in iOS 10. So we shall see about that.
Well, I agree, because I get so annoyed because I spend a lot of time AirPlaying, using HomeKit, and doing other stuff, and I've literally got to switch between three different screens all the time.
Yeah.
So to have it all in one screen, plus the control center and the notifications on your lock screen, they'll be combining those as well.
Yes, and I don't understand quite how that's all going to work. But
no, neither do I. No.
They did show it, so we shall see how that works out. They're going to be adding floor plans for airports and malls to maps.
That's going to be so cool.
Yes. I was going to say happy face.
Yeah. And there are a ton of airports and malls that this is going to be rolling out to. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. I'm looking forward to trying it out, and I'm hopeful that it will help us navigate some of these places.
Absolutely. Yes.
There's a new feature for drivers, which is a do not disturb feature for drivers, where the screen will be black when you're driving, and the feature will be able to, if you receive a message while you're driving, it will be able to send a message back to the person saying, I'm driving, I'll contact you as soon as I stop. I guess that'll be interesting, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, because the times that my wife will check her phone or her Apple Watch every time it beeps when she gets a FaceTime message or a Facebook message, it's like, you know, I'm sitting here not being able to see what's happening on the road. Do you think you could sort of keep your eyes and your hands on the steering wheel and not concern me that you perhaps are not concentrated because you're looking at your Apple Watch or your iPhone screen?
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
I think I might tell her how to enable it, but I don't know if I'm going to tell her about the fact that you can select favorites to let certain people through or not.
Right. You can do that. And But, yeah, you're right. I mean, and you know, my wife tends to look at her phone at the stoplight, and I'm like, okay. So what's this new AirPlay 2 protocol? It's going to allow multi-room audio with Apple Music?
Now, interestingly enough, that reminded me of AirFoil, because you can get AirFoil for your Mac and AirFoil speakers, and that allows you to get your Mac to stream to different speakers. So this, to me, sounded like that, basically, because at the moment with AirPlay 1, you can only do that on the Mac, at least from iTunes, to play to multiple speakers, but you can't do it on an iOS device. You can only AirPlay to one. So it sounds like you'll be able to choose the different speakers around your house or all of them to play. So for me, I've got 7 AirPlay speakers and 3 or 4 Apple TVs around the house, plus a couple of AirPort Expresses. So I'm looking forward to the fact that I can now probably AirPlay without having to do the magic dancing about, you know, sending iOS over to my Mac who's running AirPlay speakers or AirFoil speakers and then piping it out to the appropriate speaker. So I think it's going to be a fantastic option for AirPlay now.
So AirPlay is going to get more powerful and simpler to use, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah, so rather than one single speaker, it's going to play to multiple speakers now. But what confused me, though, apparently in the list of speakers, they included the Beats speaker. And as far as I know, the Beats speaker, at least the current ones, are only Bluetooth. They're not AirPlay speakers. No, they're not Wi-Fi enabled speakers. So I don't quite understand why it was on the list.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to learn more about that. And that's the way with a lot of this stuff, and probably the downside of doing this podcast right after the keynote is there are all these things we need to find out.
Yeah.
But we still like to get the information out there so that
sure,
people
absolutely
know what was covered. So it looks like they are making some enhancements to Apple Music, where they now have 27 million subscribers. Once again, they're going to try to let you find out what your friends are listening to.
Ping, 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 ping.
It's either going to go really well or really badly. I have to say, though, I get jealous of my friends on Spotify who have always been like, oh, well, I'll just share this playlist and do this thing, and they can do all these different things, and I'm not a Spotify user. So it could be good. I'm willing to give it a chance.
Could be. There's a new Music Kit API, which maybe that will bring some of the things that we'd like to be able to do in terms of being able to have Apple Music play from Siri onto other devices. I have no idea if that will be the case.
I sure hope so.
That would be nice.
Well, when we get to talk to about a particular piece of hardware that was the end of the keynote, maybe that'll be enabled on that as well.
Well, no doubt it'll work there, but will it ever work with Sonos, for example? That's the $64 question for me at this point.
Well, apparently on the list of devices that somebody told me on the screen, where AirPlay enabled HP device speakers, it wasn't listed.
Sonos is not there, yeah.
No, Sonos doesn't have yet. AirPlay.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. So next they talked about the App Store, and Phil said that 500 million people visit the App Store each week. 180 billion apps downloaded. $70 billion paid to developers. I wish I had been one of them. I could just even 1 million of that 70 billion would be fine. With
me. That'd be fine. Well invested, you could live well.
So they've really continued to work on getting apps reviewed faster and getting them released. The App Store is actually being redesigned, and they're going to start with a Today tab, which is going to show you current information. They're going to have a Games tab and an Apps tab, and there's also going to be a Search and an Updates tab. But apparently it's been redesigned to, I guess, visually look a bit more like Apple Music, I understand. So
yeah, it seems to have panes inside each of those tabs as well. So when I went and had a play with the Today tab, the Games tab, and the Apps tab, it seemed to almost like have subheadings in it. So I think it's going to be interesting, because I have a funny feeling it's going to have to be described to somebody what's happening on the screen, because I know when I was flicking through, I was getting a little bit confused about what was an app versus what was a heading. So hopefully that will improve as time goes on. But yeah, I think there's a lot going on those screens at the moment to make them pop out visually for people. So we'll see how it goes with VoiceOver in the future.
Progress, huh?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Complicated, and hopefully will turn out well in the end.
Mm.
A lot more machine learning in iOS 11. New API for machine learning, and an interesting one for vision, which is going to let them do a lot more object and face recognitions and a lot more with augmented reality. And they showed an interesting AR kit, which is going to allow them to do some pretty creative things with the phone camera and showing cups of coffee on a table that look very real, for example. And they went through quite a bit with AR, and there wasn't anything there at this moment that seemed really relevant to me, at least. But I think it's going to happen. I think this AR stuff is going to be quite useful for us eventually.
I think it has crazily awesome implications for blind folks. I think it's going to open up whole vistas to us.
Oh, you can imagine if you're starting at a new college or a university or a new workplace, and if you could either independently or get someone to do it for you, use AR to map out the whole building. And then with the camera and the accelerometer and everything else, all the chips inside it, to say, well, look, okay, I know based on what the camera's seeing that you're here. Therefore, 3 meters in front of you to the left is the restroom, to the right is the staff room, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it has huge implications for orientation and mobility. It's going to be brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed. And it's funny to realize they said that just simply by launching this AR kit that Apple will automatically become the largest AR supplier in the world because of all the devices that they have. So it'll be the largest AR platform on day one, which what a way to step into a field like that.
Well, Apple doesn't do anything by halves.
No, they don't. So next, Jaws came up and talked about iPad. And we have a new iPad Pro. It's, I believe, a 10-inch or maybe 10.5-inch.
There's a retina. 10.5 and a 13-inch. Yeah, there's two.
Right. I wasn't quite clear. The 13-inch, is that also a new one, or is that the same one that they've had?
I'm pretty sure the 13-inch is new as well.
Okay.
I actually didn't hear them. So did they say a 13-inch? Because I must have missed that. Because I thought
I heard 13-inch.
Yeah, because I thought they were just introducing a 10.5 and that was it. Yeah. That was getting late onto the keynote, so I might have been falling asleep by that point.
Yeah.
Right. We're not sure about this, whether the large one has been refreshed or not, and maybe it has, but we'll learn more about that as time goes on. But certainly the 10.5-inch is a new iPad, and it's replacing the 9.7.
Yes, the iPad one I just got. Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is, though, Robert. They didn't say I mean, maybe it is going to replace it, but I almost got the feeling that it's just another size. So I might want to, I'm actually going to go and check that later on, but
yeah.
Because what impresses me with all this sort of stuff that Tim Cook's doing is that he's expanding the product line versus where it didn't used to be. It used to be, well, these are our products and that's it. He's really aiming it at this is what the consumer wants. So the fact that we've got multiple iPads now, we've got different types of sizes of iPhones and different size of Macs, I think Apple's really trying hard to meet customer need now.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not positive either if the 9.7 is going away, but this 10.5 is very close to the same size as the 9.7. But what they've done is made the screen more edge to edge. So they've gotten a lot more screen in essentially the same size or very close to the same size iPad. And so I can't imagine why you wouldn't want that one as opposed to the 9.7. But anyway, we're not sure about what the product line is there.
No, and what I was very impressed about too, they said that and I'm assuming this is the new one, or maybe it's going to be a bump up for the 12.9 as well, but they said you'll be able to get more storage up to 512 gigabytes, which is absolutely amazing.
I drooled a little bit when I saw that. I was like, because I got the 256 gigabyte 9.7 Pro right now, and I'm like, 512, that's like a computer.
It is. And this new one will support a full-size on-screen keyboard and also a full-size smart keyboard. So that's another advantage that it has over the 9.7.
Yeah, it was quite interesting when they were talking about the feature in Notes where they said that there is now a document scanner built into it. So you can take a piece of paper and scan it straight in. What I wasn't clear about is that was just a straight image input into Notes or whether it was doing any OCR processing.
No, I completely missed that. Completely.
Yeah, and they were even did an example where they did some, he did a handwritten note, and then that note was translated somehow into something that he could search for in Spotlight, which on the surface at least sounds like OCR to me.
I must have fell asleep because I don't remember that at all.
It was a long keynote, almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it really was. And not much more to say about the iPad. It's faster and a 10X chip and better graphics. It has the same cameras as the iPhone 7. And I wrote down here that it has a USB-C port. I don't know whether it also has a lightning port, but they mentioned USB-C and fast charging, and it's got new covers as well. And one of the covers will actually have a slot to hold your Apple Pencil, so you won't lose it.
Yeah. The other feature they talked about with the iPad Pro in particular, or maybe just the normal iPads, is File Manager. So you can, it'll collaborate on what I'm trying to say, all your different online cloud storage options. So if you're using Dropbox, OneDrive, Google Drive, iCloud, there'll be this file management app that will bring them all into one screen so that then you'll have no problem being able to try and locate your apps. And the other thing they mentioned was that I'm interested in looking at from a VoiceOver perspective is the drag and drop feature between apps. So you can grab some text or a hyperlink and drag it over to another app and drop it and start using it.
Yes. Now, those features will be available for the iPad in iOS 11, but the hardware is actually shipping next week.
Yes.
So, but yes, this new file app looks like what a lot of people have been asking for, and I think a lot of people have felt like not having those file capabilities and drag and drop capabilities are what kept them from using the iPad Pro full time and kept them needing to also use a a Mac. So it'll be interesting to see if this makes a big difference in people choosing the iPad for, as their computing device.
And look, I wouldn't be surprised whether the drag and drop works similarly to the new way that we actually move apps around on the home screen.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
With a rotor option.
Yeah, because you could – exactly. So you flick up and you select edit, you flick up and you choose move and so on and so on. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the interface. I haven't had a chance to play with that yet, but that's one of the things I'm going to be trying out very, very soon. The other thing they mentioned, Robert, I don't know if we mentioned it, I don't think we did, was with the keyboard – and it was probably across iOS 11 where you could flick down on a key on the keyboard and bring up the other options. So if you had letters on the screen, you could flick down and choose a symbol without having to change the keyboard layout.
Yes, or that's choose a number.
Beautiful.
So that sounds really good.
Don't know how to work with VoiceOver, but yeah, sounds very, very positive. It's interesting that the Notes app will have a built-in document scanner for dealing with paper. So apparently you can just point the camera at a business card and it'll automatically take a picture and scan the information into Notes for you. Again, we don't know about OCR.
No, and what my son's probably going to be looking forward to is he's a really big Apple user because what he does, he's only 12 years old and he's already got his own art gear. He doesn't use normal ink. He uses particular inks and pencils and brushes. So what he's started to do now, he draws out his overall design on the iPad screen using the pencil. And then once he's done all that sort of stuff, he then uses the real art stuff on, vellum paper and so on. So I think he's going to really enjoy the new features that they've got in the Apple Pencil now as well.
Yeah. Sounds like it. And that's something that we haven't explored much in my household, but I suspect my wife might enjoy the new iPad with the Apple Pencil. So probably one of those in our future here. We get to the last item that was discussed in the keynote, and Apple says that they have revolutionized music with the iPod and in the portable arena, but they're now going to revolutionize music in the home. And I don't quite know. I think what they introduced sounds like a very, very nice smart speaker where they're trying to sort of bridge that gap. They're trying to compete with Sonos in terms of a really good sounding speaker that also is easy to set up and use and is able to adapt to the acoustics in your room and things like that, but also has the capabilities of a device like the Amazon Echo where you can issue Siri commands and where you can do lots of things with your voice with this speaker. So what did you all think about the HomePod?
Well, don't tell Schmefexa and Googly Home this yet, but they are going to get relegated to other rooms. I'll keep the Sonos speakers around in my pride of place on my desk for now, but I'm going to get two of these HomePods and see how they compare.
Two? My goodness me. I know you can do it too. It sounds like Robert and I might have to borrow some money off you at this rate.
Well, I'm not getting the new
iPad. I was bad.
I'm not getting the new Mac, and I don't think I'm getting the new iPad. So I'll throw down some money on these instead.
Well, I did the same thing with the Pill speakers. I bought two of them because I wanted to use them in stereo. So I can certainly understand the attraction for that with the HomePod. It's interesting. It's only 7 inches tall, so it's not a huge speaker, but it has seven tweeters and an A8 chip, and I just suspect that this is going to be a really good sounding, really powerful speaker. And I don't think you're going to be able to resist, David. I think you're going to get one.
I am going to get one. I probably won't get two, but I'll get one. But yeah, I mean, it's got the 4-inch subwoofer in it. What I like about it too is that apparently unlike the Echo and I guess Google Home, the microphone is not listening all the time. It's only, I don't know how they do this, but when you do the magic words HEY Siri, it will then activate and turn the microphone on. And visually, on the top of it, it's not a touch screen, but they're using LED lights to let you know that the microphone's listening. Yeah. And what I find, if I'm playing music out of the little Dot Echo that I've got, sometimes the microphone won't pick up, whereas this thing's got six microphones right around the circumference of the speaker, and I think it's, they said, about 4 or 5 inches in diameter, and that will actually pick up your voice even though you've got music pumping out of it at the same time. So, and the fact that you can use it not only to stream Apple Music, but you can use all your normal HEY Siri functions for doing checking the weather, setting alarms, setting reminders, timers, and everything else. So, because I always say to people, look, to me the smart home stuff, it's always the one that you use all the time, and the one that I use all the time is always the one in my pocket, which is my phone. So just to have Siri sitting in my lounge room, so that my wife, when she gets up at night time and the lights are off, she can just say, HEY Siri, turn the lights on, and so on, without having to get her iPhone out and do other stuff. She can just talk to the speaker now. So I'm really actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's going to be great, they said, for checking the news and sports and weather and playing podcasts and things like that. So it looks like, I think that Apple has entered this market, and yeah, they're coming to it kind of late, given that Amazon and Google are already out there with their devices. But to me, I wasn't disappointed in what they seem to be offering in the HomePod, and this is the first generation. I think there'll be more to come, but I was a little surprised with how much they tried to make it be the music revolution for the home. And I don't know if I can quite go that far.
No,
yeah, I'll have to wait till I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. At the same time, I can't really find much about it that I'm disappointed in.
No, I do hope, though, that it will be able to integrate with other apps. Like, I hope I'll be able to play podcasts in Overcast, because that is my only podcatcher that I use. I don't use the Apple Podcast app. Mm-hmm. I hope that I'll be able to play my Audible books. I hope I'll be able to speed them up. One of the big drawbacks of the Amazon device is that you can listen to your Audible books, great, you can stream them, but you can't speed them up. So
I just had a brilliant thought. That's maybe where SiriKit comes in, because you, at the moment, you can really only say open Audible. You can't say, you know, play my audio book, blah, blah, blah. So I'm wondering where that's the implementation for SiriKit, that Audible, for example, could say, okay, so we've got a new SiriKit-enabled Audible app now that you can completely control your Audible library using Siri.
That's exactly what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I hope that will be the case. I honestly think they have priced this speaker about where I would expect it to be at $349. I mean, high-quality speakers are kind of expensive, but to me, this seems like a reasonable price for this one.
It's totally worth it. It'll be my Christmas present to me, from me.
Yeah, I'll probably be the same for me as well.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So that is what was covered in this rather monstrous keynote, and I hope we have given you all at least a flavor for all that was talked about. Let's just double check with you, Allison, and you, David, to see what final thoughts you all had about it. You happy with it? Not so happy with it? How you feel about this keynote?
I thought it was solid. I think that WWDC, with few exceptions, is never quite the wow factor of the fall keynote, because you're not getting hardware, as many hardware announcements. Now, I thought it was a little better this time, because we did get some new hardware announcements, whether it's stuff that's available now or stuff to come. But I feel like it gives you kind of a glimpse into the future, and I'm looking forward to what the future with the new operating systems is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same. I mean, to me, every time I talk to Apple, I'm always going on about the Mac, because Everybody talks about the iPhone and the iPad, and I keep saying, yeah, all well and good, but I want to talk about the Mac. So that, to me, was good that the Mac's got a lot of airtime, this particular keynote.
Yeah.
The other thing that I mean, my wish list has always had that Siri typing input. So to me, that's a huge win. The only thing I wish they'd implement, and they probably won't do this, though, and that is under accessibility, attaching physical controls to answer and hang up on the phone. So I still can't see, you know, if KNFB Reader can use volume up and volume down for a preview and take a picture, I can't see why, if you're in the phone app, for example, or you put in a particular mode, why then the volume up and volume down buttons can't act as answer and hang up buttons. So
that would be so convenient, yeah.
Yeah, because on the help desk, that must be the most frustrating call that I get all the time. People say, I can't ever hang up a phone call. I'm double tapping and the person feels like, you know, the person must be thinking I'm a complete idiot because I can't hang up a phone call. It's like, but can we just make it a physical control and then people wouldn't have an issue?
Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Maybe that will get implemented at some point. Well, you know, I think honestly, one of the things that maybe we do it to ourselves or maybe Apple contributes to this, but I think people get so excited about these keynotes and they're just months and months of anticipation about maybe they'll do this, maybe they'll do that. And by the time the keynote actually rolls around, even if it's really good stuff like what we saw today, it's hard, I think, for that to live up to people's build up to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a little bit less amazing than you build it up in your mind, but it's always pretty amazing.
Mm. No, I agree.
Well, it is. And, you know, to be honest, I still enjoy taking the day off and just devoting myself to the WWDC keynote. And it's just fun. And I always walk away with some new things I'm looking forward to exploring in the fall, because I don't normally do the betas in the summer. I don't have the courage that you all have. Anyway, I want to thank you, David, for joining us again this time.
Yeah, thanks, David.
It's been a long day for you.
It has been a long day. I'm just trying to work out. I think I've been up now for, about 10 hours so far, I think. So I've still got to go back. I haven't finished my working day. I've still got about another five or six hours to go of work. So,
okay.
And I've got about 3 meetings. So hopefully I won't fall asleep in the meetings
Well, I hope not. But thank you for allowing us to be part of your big keynote day here. And I'm glad we were able to talk through all this.
No, it's okay. My pleasure. And I can go and play with my new arrived Beats pill that I bought somehow today. It arrived when we were about to do the recording. So I'm off to have a quick evaluation of that for a little while and then get back to work.
Well, nice. You go play with your Beats pill and I'll go play with my new away travel suitcase I got today.
Oh, cool.
Sounds very exciting.
All right. Well, Allison, it's possible that people will want to communicate with us about this extravaganza that we have just podcasted. Is there a reasonable way a human being could do that?
There is. We're short of carrier pigeons. We also have an email address. Our email address is techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. However, if you want to send a carrier pigeon, that would be cool too.
Yeah, or an owl.
Yeah. Like Harry Potter. That would be very, very cool.
Yeah, I'd love to have something delivered by an owl.
That would be
nice. We'll wait and see if that happens. But
We
will be back. We're going to do more about what all happened at WWDC and going to be talking with some more of the Apple, Mac, iOS podcasters in this community in weeks to come. And so we're gonna come back soon.
Yes, but, very soon.
Yes. But until then, thanks for listening, for staying with us for this whole time. This is Robert, one of the Tech Doctors, and I'm saying so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other Tech Doctor, saying bye, everyone.